Welcome back to Crime in the Coconut. Thanks for joining us this week.
I'm Amanda.
Oh, shit. I'm Amanda.
I'm Morgan.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Handshakes across table.
All right. Well, Morgan is taking us off on this week. So what you got?
This is personally one of my favorite cases. Ever since I heard it, it's fucked me up. I tell everybody about it. Think about it all the time. It's the murder of Cassie Jo Stoddard.
Yes, so. You've told me for the last couple weeks that, like, this is very exciting for you, so I'm excited.
This episode, like, pains me, because it's strictly wrong place, wrong time type kind of shit. I actually initially heard this story from Bailey Sarian. I was on a drive home from the Carolinas, and I was listening to it, and I got sucked in. But recently, I also listened to Morbid podcast episode, and it's just...
Yeah, you told me, you were like, I know a lot about this based on just what I've heard.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of this is loosely based off of what I've heard from episodes and Wikipedia. Because the Wikipedia page doesn't have much on the buildup and the pure, like, planning of this murder. It's really kind of cut and dry. Cassie Jo was murdered by two classmates, Brian Draper and Tori Adamchik. So Brian was born on March 21st, 1990 in Salt Lake City, Utah. And Tori Adamchik was born on June 14th, 1990, same birthday as my boyfriend, of course. He shares birthdays with only the worst people. And he was born in Pocatello, Idaho. Both boys attended the small Pocatello High School. This is where they would grow up and become friends with Cassie Jo Stoddard. And they were known as outsiders, and they were often ostracized from their classmates. This would actually be prevalent in their future murders, as both Brian and Tori would admit they had feelings for Cassie, but she would constantly reject them. They just weren't her type. They were weird. Literally just outcast outsiders. The boys would identify themselves as movie buffs, movie critics, and this would inspire their murder against Cassie, and also where they got the name the Scream Killers.
Okay, I think I know the story just a little bit, but yeah. I know where you're going. Okay.
The boys, also having both been known as outcasts, were in love with the idea of Columbine, and they felt as if it was a story of outsiders becoming the underdog. I will say, based on Morbid, when I was listening to that the other day, they said that the Columbine shootings were written a lot in media as being outcasts becoming underdogs.
Shootings a lot today happen frequently, and I kind of like that... And it's sad that they're so often occurring that they don't get hyped in media, but I also almost, like, enjoy the fact that they're not hyped in media because
No, they shouldn't be, because that's what causes other kids to do it, because they want the attention.
Yes, that's why. Mm-hmm. That's why. So I hate that it happens, but they happen so frequently now. It's like, you're unoriginal. You're just an angsty teen that's trying to get attention. Yeah.
Right. So with both the boys being movie buffs, they decided to make their own movie instead. They began filming everything leading up to the murder, including conversations they were having openly in classrooms. Like, they would literally sit at their desk, take a third desk, put their camera on it, hit record, and start talking about their plans. Classmates and teachers nearby.
And nobody was like,
Well, because they were like, oh, we're just talking about the script for our movie. They were openly discussing how they would commit their first crime and, you know, how they were setting up for it. And they would just play it off as they were speaking about their script. Brian wanted to do something big, similar to Columbine, as were Tori wanted to keep something low-key, easier. And so, after a while, they decided to just go with Tori's idea and to keep it small, simple. They always made sure to leave their camera on record during all discussions.
Was Tori a guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They were able to get away with having these conversations in the open because they played it off as they were working on their scripts for their movie or just talking about the movie. And when they were discussing murder, nobody thought anything of it. They thought they were just making a horror movie. Cassie Jo was born on December 21st, 1989, in Bannock County, Idaho. She was always known as a responsible person throughout childhood and her teenage years. Her responsibility would get the best of her on September 22nd, 2006. She had agreed to house sit for her aunt, uncle, while they were out of town. They had some dogs and some cats, and so she was just watching their house. They went out of town. It's a large house, kind of in the middle of nowhere, kind of like right on the outskirts of Pocatello. While they went out of town, she was allowed to have some friends over to keep her company while she was there. She invited her boyfriend and two of his friends over, and those would be Brian Draper and Tori Adamchik. Her boyfriend Matt Beckham came over around 6 p.m., and then later on they were joined by Brian and Tori, and they were all 16 at the time of the murder. Cassie would make the mistake of showing everyone around the house, including the basement. They would then go into the living room to just hang out and watch a movie. Tori and Brian decided they were a little bored, and so they were going to leave a little early before the movie was over because they wanted to go watch a movie in the theater instead. The boys clearly had an ulterior motive, and by them going to the movies, they went and bought a ticket for a movie. However, they did not stick around to watch it. This becomes evident later when they're questioned by the police. Like, well, they literally were just building their alibi.
Yeah, creating an alibi. Yeah.
So Cassie, unfortunately, was aware that before Brian and Tori left, one of them had went to the basement and unlocked the door that led it from the outside. They had played off like they were trying to go to the restroom, and they walked downstairs, unlocked that basement door, and that way they could re-enter the house later on.
Wait, they're going to the bathroom?
So before they left, because Brian and Tori left, went to the movies, they said, hey, Cassie, can I use the restroom? She said, yeah, go ahead. It's, you know, here. It didn't say whether it was Brian or Tori. They went down in the basement because Cassie showed them around the house. They went down in the basement, and there's a door down there that leads in from the outside.
Oh, they unlocked it.
They unlocked it so they could get in undetected later on.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So sometime after the boys left the house, they returned and parked up the street. They got out of the car and put on costumes, so very typical, consisted of dark clothing, gloves, white masks, and they quietly entered the home from the basement they had unlocked prior. Cassie and her boyfriend Matt were still upstairs, completely oblivious to what was going to happen. Brian and Tori would begin to make loud noises to scare the couple, as well as to lure them downstairs, was their hopes.
You hear a loud noise and you're like, what's that? Let's go investigate.
Well, no, listen, like, I mean, they were smarter than regular people in serial killer movies. They didn't go. They didn't go downstairs. I mean, because it didn't work out. So one of them found the circuit breaker and they cut the power to the house. This was once again hoping they would come downstairs, check the circuit breaker. When they realized that Cassie and Matt were not going to come downstairs, they turned back on the power. Matt had noticed that Cassie became visibly anxious once the power had cut out and come back on. And also
they put it back on?
Mm-hmm. Because the whole reason they cut it off was trying to get Matt and Cassie to come downstairs.
But they put it back on.
Mm-hmm, because it wasn't working. So once Cassie became anxious, Matt also began to notice that one of the family dogs would occasionally look downstairs and bark and growl, but they didn't do anything about it. However, I mean, I will say, once Matt noticed that Cassie was scared, he did call his mom to see if he could stay the night there. She declined. However, she did offer that Cassie could stay with Matt at their house if she felt that uncomfortable. Cassie has stated before, very responsible girl. She felt the need to stay at the house. She felt like she had an obligation to stay there to watch over the animals, even though she was terrified. At approximately 10:30 p.m., Matt's mom came to pick him up. And that is when Cassie was left alone, or so they thought. Matt called Brian and Tori to see if they would possibly want to hang out later. However, Matt would state that he could barely hear them as they were whispering, so he assumed they were still at the movie theater.
See, my paranoia won't let that happen. If I hear shit happening downstairs and that shit's happening, I'll be like, listen, I gotta check it out or I'm not here.
Right.
Like, you are, that's the definition of, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Intuition?
No, ignorance is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, if I don't check it out, then it's not real. No.
Right.
No, no.
Right.
You trust your gut.
Mm-hmm. Well, so once Brian and Tori heard that Matt had left, they cut the lights on the circuit breaker yet again, once again hoping that Cassie would come downstairs to look at it. When Cassie did not come downstairs, they decided to head upstairs to her.
I wonder how long they were down there.
Not very long, I don't believe. Brian was armed with a dagger-type weapon, and Tori had a hunting-style knife. Brian would open and close the closet door upstairs and attempt to scare Cassie, as she was just lying on the couch in the living room at the time. Once the boys ascended upstairs, Cassie met her fate when they brutally attacked her, stabbing her 30 times, at least 12 of the wounds being fatal.
But I wonder what she was thinking, like, it's a ghost. I don't believe it. I don't believe in ghosts.
I do, but that's besides the point.
I don't. At all.
I mean, maybe she thought it's an old house. I mean, I think that she honestly just felt so obligated to stay because she knew.
Opening and closing closet door after all that shit happening, I'd be like, someone's fucking here.
Yeah, but I mean, what's she gonna do?
I'm not saying that, like, my mindset is the same as hers, but damn.
Brian and Tori were able to purchase these knives because they were 16 at the time. They had an 18-year-old classmate. Although it was well known that Tori had a large knife collection at home anyways, he did ask a classmate named Joe to go and buy him some, which he just assumed it was for Tori's collection. I'm assuming he had bought him some before.
Mm.
Brian and Tori were so obsessed with the spotlight that they went as far as recording everything leading up to Cassie's murder and even her murder herself. I actually have a clip to play.
What?
That I found on TikTok.
Okay.
Which just, like, even furthered my need to do this story.
It's, like, actual footage?
Mm-hmm. And this was posted by the Crime Scenes on TikTok.
Trick somebody from it, they're gonna want it more.
I just killed Cassie. We just left her house. This is not a fucking joke.
I'm shaking.
I stabbed her in the throat and I saw her lifeless body just disappear. Dude, I just killed Cassie.
What you just heard is a tape recorded by Brian Draper and Tori Adam Chich.
So what that was actual video evidence of Brian and Tori getting in the car after committing the murder against Cassie and just talking about it, bluffing about it. It was a whole thing. I mean, they recorded everything leading up to it. They literally recorded them killing her. So Cassie the next morning was actually found by her aunt, uncle, and cousin when they returned from out of town. She was already gone at that point, and there was literally no saving her. I mean...
Well, no.
I believe from what I've seen on prior episodes that her cousin actually found her. Her little cousin. She was younger, probably one of our cousins' ages. Walked in and saw Cassie on the floor in the living room. Brian and Tori were immediately brought into the police station for questioning, and they would claim to have an alibi, and they would tell investigators that they went to the movies. However, when investigators asked what the movie was about, neither boy could actually answer the question. On September 27, 2006, both Brian and Tori were charged with first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. See, the boys actually had underlying plans to kill more than just Cassie. Unfortunately, she was the only one they found to be in a situation where she was alone, therefore she became an easy target. So ultimately, they were kind of just, they were so full of themselves to the point that, like, in some of their video clips, they were like, when the FBI sees this, this is going to be like a killer handbook. Oh,
yeah. They were like, I literally just killed her.
I mean, literally, they thought they were going to be like some top guns. Like, they were going to go viral. I mean, they thought they were going to be top shit on this serial killer list.
I feel bad for her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I really do feel... I mean, it's not his fault.
If he had been there, he would have died too. But, I mean, even up to Cassie's murder... Brian and Tori had attempted to murder other girls, but, like, for some reason she wouldn't be alone, or they just couldn't get at the right place, right time.
Well, yeah, I feel like the only reason they came upstairs is because they knew it was a girl. If he was still there...
No, I think they still would have done it.
I think it would have been more of a fight.
Oh, yeah, no, it definitely would have been more of a fight, but I think they would have done it regardless.
What, they had knives?
Mm-hmm.
I think you underestimate... a male's
testosterone
and adrenaline.
That's true. I mean, honestly, like I said, Cassie was unfortunately wrong place, wrong time because...
No, not wrong place, wrong time. She was in a house she should have been in. These fucking bitches came in.
You know what I'm saying. Like,
sanctum.
As were, like, everybody else they were attempting.
Yeah.
They just weren't alone.
It just so happened to be her. Yeah.
Yeah. While the boys were being interrogated, they both attempted to point the blame on the other person. Brian claimed that he did not actually stab Cassie at all, and he only watched as Tori did all the work. However, he would then state that Tori forced him to stab Cassie. Brian would then lead investigators to Black Rock Canyon, which is where the boys hid all the evidence after their crime. So I'm talking the tape from their camera, the outfits, the knives, they buried all of it. At the trial, the prosecution would reveal the fact that Brian was inspired by Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, the ones who committed the Columbine Massacre. They would also reveal that Tori was inspired by the Scream movie franchise. Once again, they kind of went into them being movie buffs, the underdogs, the ostracized. On April 17, 2007, Brian was convicted and Tori was convicted on June 8, 2007. Based on their convictions, they were both given a mandatory life sentence without possibility of parole and 30 years to life for conspiracy to commit a murder.
What state was this in?
Idaho.
I wonder what their childhood was like.
I don't know. It didn't, like, so I'm saying the wiki was very bland. And that's why a lot of this, I will say, is stuff that I got from listening to episodes.
It's like the nature versus nurture thing. I think these guys would have done it even if they had the most picture-perfect mm-hmm. life. Because it was all in glory. It was all in glory.
They really just wanted the attention.
Yeah.
So both Brian and Tori are serving their sentence in Idaho State Correctional Institution. I actually did a deep dive on this. Brian, interestingly enough, is... technically on their website only has a conviction of first degree murder, as where Tori has first degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. So I'm thinking that by Brian selling Tori out and showing the police where the evidence is, he got away with one of them. Granted, they're both life sentences.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good, because I feel like with other stories we have, they could have gotten off easier.
Mm-hmm. The boys would later try to appeal their sentences, September 2010 for Tori and April 2011 for Brian. Brian was seeking a new sentence that would give him a limited life sentence with the possibility for parole, if approved, after 30 years served. Both Brian and Tori's appeal requests were both denied in a 3-2 decision. Three people said no, two people said yes. Tori would gain a hearing for a post-conviction relief in July 2015. He stated that there were character witnesses that were not called upon by his former attorney despite his parents' wishes. Tori felt that this may have changed his convictions, and he stated that the attorney did not call upon these witnesses due to it possibly submitting more damaging evidence. I don't know why he would have wanted that to be brought up. I feel like that would have looked worse on him. Mm. In March 2016, the judge denied Tori's request for post-conviction relief. In 2010, Cassie's family actually filed a civil suit against the Idaho School District for negligence and stated that the school should have known that Brian and Tori were a threat to the safety of its students. The civil court and the Supreme Court both dismissed the case due to it have being unforeseeable what the boys would have done, given the fact that these boys were openly planning a murder in classrooms with classmates and possibly even faculty around. Makes me think that maybe someone should have said something, but hey, I mean, what the hell do I know?
What year was this?
2010s when they filed the civil suit.
When were they, like, in class talking about this shit?
2006.
Yeah, fuck that. Okay, I'd be like,
they were all 16.
I know, like, murder movies are, like, a thing, and I get it. But, like, I would be at least a little bit worried.
That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody said shit. I know, based off listening, Bailey Sarian and Morbid, the police actually questioned Matt, her boyfriend, and he was accused for a short while of playing a key factor in it. And, you know, he was like, I had no idea. I left at 10:30. Thank God he had his mom as an alibi because she's the one that came to pick him up.
I don't think him guilty at all.
No. I mean, he wasn't. The only guiltiness he even had is that he was friends with them.
Yeah.
But the whole thing about Cassie is that Brian and Tori were obsessed with her. They'd asked her out on numerous occasions, and the rejection didn't suit them. And it was just...
No, but if you're fucking intelligent, like, shit, if my boyfriend's friends asked me out multiple times and I said no, you would not let me alone with them.
Right. And, I mean, to Matt's knowledge, she wasn't. You know, I mean...
Well, yeah, he didn't know. I don't think, like I said again, he's not guilty.
I bet he felt like such shit.
Yeah.
I mean, because he even called them and they were whispering. He just assumed they were at the movie theater. Just sort of turn around and he's in the fucking basement where Cassie is.
Could have looked.
If they had looked, I think that, you know, somebody still would have died.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it would have been more of a fight.
Yeah, for sure. Her responsibility got the best of her. And unfortunately, that just...
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, it is just unfortunate.
She was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty girl. Had everything in front of her.
Oof.
Because you're 16, you're what? A junior in high school? Maybe a sophomore if you were born late?
Well, for those of you listening, if you're still in school, you got a funny feeling. Even if you're not in school, you got a funny feeling. You trust your gut.
Yeah, I mean, if you hear somebody talking about some shit and it's a little fishy, you say something.
Trust your gut. But it's hard. I mean, sometimes your gut's not right, or sometimes...
Even if it's not, it's better to say something and look like an idiot than not say something and feel bad about it.
Yeah, and that's the point of the podcast is... to educate people on, like, shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
Shit happens, for sure.
All the time.
Yeah. Woo! Well, I thought this was going to be a light episode, but even then I still feel bad.
Well, that was my bad. I meant to do the light episode, but the heavy episode. And then I was halfway through and I was like, fuck.
Innocent people die all the time. You just gotta not... Try to not be one of those innocent victims.
Yep.
So,
Stay safe.
Yes, stay safe. Thanks for listening. Our plugs are Crime in the Coconut at Instagram, Facebook, crimeinthecoconut@gmail.com. You can send us your own stories or something you want us to cover, anything like that. And CITC Podcasts with an S on the end at Twitter. And we hope to see you again in the future.
See you next week.
Yes, see you next week.
Thanks. See ya.
Love you.